This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Don Wick, Sierra Doctor, and Whitney Pittman. Starting off this morning, just a little band of snow flurries showing up in northeastern North Dakota, northwestern Minnesota this morning, kind of from that Grafton-Minto area over to the Stephen Argyle, and then off to the north and east there toward Strandquist in Minnesota. Very light, though. Wheat growers in the central and southern plains will be assessing frost and freeze damage in the coming weeks. World Weather Incorporated says Sunday morning temperatures dipped into the teens and 20s in parts of central and northern Kansas, eastern Colorado, Nebraska. World Weather Incorporated says temperatures plummeted well below normal as part of a 62-day repeating cold cycle took hold. Farmers eager to get out into the fields, but soil conditions aren't ready. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
World Weather Incorporated senior ag meteorologist Drew Lerner says the dry soils have helped the severity of the snow melt by absorbing much of it.
Well, the drought monitor has already reflected the fact that we have thawed out the soil across the northern plains, upper Midwest. Some of the drought classifications and the abnormally dry classification has been reduced across the region, as it should, with all the snow melt and new precipitation that's occurred here recently. And that certainly is the right trend. And boy, I tell you, I'm a bit thankful that we have had a drier tendency in our soil underneath the snow this season, because it's really helped to reduce some of the severity of our snow melt that's taking place.
Lerner says spring planting may be delayed with the cooler soil temperatures.
There's still a lot of interest in corn and soybean planting delays across the Midwest, and I think that is the other issue that needs to be monitored. We are seeing a cool bias this week, and that's going to keep those soil temperatures low, and new planting of corn is certainly not going to advance very quickly. A lot of producers don't want to put seed in the ground when the ground is wet and cool, and that's kind of where we are right now. So the longer this scenario plays out, the longer some of the delays are likely to be with corn planting in portions of the central Midwest.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Williams Arena is known as the Barn. It typically is hosting Gopher basketball, but now it's filled with Blue Jackets. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick reports from the Minnesota FFA convention.
State reporter Caden Johnson reluctantly began his FFA career because his high school, Fertile Beltrami, had agriculture classes as a requirement.
I was really blessed that at my school that's one of the requirements, but that's not the standard by any means across schools.
Johnson is now a student at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities studying psychology. He feels mental health is critically important for young people, especially in rural communities.
I think young people are really starting to see a shift in mental health. A lot of them are growing up in a generation where mental health is talked about, so I'm really excited for that. We actually partnered with the FFA Foundation and then the Minnesota Department of Agriculture for a program called the Bend Don't Break Initiative, and that allowed us to give funds straight to chapters who applied for it, and they can use those funds to create mental health initiatives in their own communities. We've had a few people host things like Safe Talks, which provides suicide prevention and mental health skills, and then we've also seen other communities do really amazing things with that support, so I'm really excited for that program. But I think youth in FFA and especially just all over the world are starting to see the importance of mental health.
The convention schedule today includes contests, delegate sessions, awards, and a career connection event. The Red River Farm Network coverage of the Minnesota FFA Convention is sponsored by Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and the Dinner Bell Creamery. Proceed, Minnesota Farmers Union, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, and the Minnesota Farm Bureau. Reporting from Minneapolis and the State FFA Convention, I'm Don Wick.
March milk production in the 24 major dairy states, just under 19 billion pounds. That's up 0.6% from last year. Minnesota's milk production was up 1.2% with an additional 1,000 cows added to the herd. South Dakota's milk output rose 7% with an additional 13,000 dairy cows added to production. Reporting agriculture business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Bipartisan approach is often talked about in the agriculture committees. That was on display Friday as Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar hosted Senate Agriculture Committee ranking member John Bozeman for farm meetings in Rochester and the Twin Cities.
Well, I am so honored to have Senator Bozeman here. We have worked together for years, and he is the highest-ranking Republican, the ranking Republican on the Senate Agriculture Committee at a very important time. And we have always believed in Minnesota and in ag nationally that we're not going to be able to get this done one party versus the other. We have to do it together across geographic lines, across party lines.
Bozeman, who represents Arkansas, was able to hear from Minnesota farmers.
The farm bill really isn't a Democrat or Republican thing. It's more about regions of the country. Southern agriculture is different than the eyes, Illinois, Indiana, places like that. This state is such a tremendous producer of ag products, and it's different also. So it's blending all of that together, and then the different commodities, especially crops, along with the the cottons and the corns and the soybeans, all of those kind of things. So it's all about making sure that our farmers can be successful going forward.
The national debt ceiling is of high concern for lawmakers. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has this story.
Raising the debt ceiling involves a lot of moving pieces. Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota says that is for good reason.
The debt ceiling is really an important issue. We as a nation, we as a government, raise our debt ceiling on occasion. And when we raise it to a certain level, for a certain time, generally to a certain level is the way I prefer to do it, because if you do it to a certain time, there's still no limit on the spending during that calendar. And the reason we do it that way, as opposed to just eliminating a debt ceiling and making it automatic, is so that policymakers and appropriators and budgeters now and then occasionally look at what are the drivers of our debt, what is it we're spending our money on, what is it we should be cutting back on, and have a serious discussion.
Cramer says Republicans are looking for conditions tied to raising the ceiling. One of those conditions relates to energy.
But one of the big things is going to be some energy policy, permitting reforms, for example. That's going to be hard for some Democrats to swallow, but I'm fully supportive of what they're doing. It's the beginning of negotiations, let's put it that way. The president says he doesn't want to negotiate. He says we should just have a clean debt ceiling increase with no conditions attached whatsoever. We think that's completely irresponsible. We don't want to default on our debt, and we want to do everything we can to avoid it. But we can't just give them a blank check without some checks and balances in what's driving our debt and what can we do to systematically, help diminish or relieve some of that debt and our appetite for spending.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
The Duluth Seaway Port Authority and Duluth Cargo Connect have announced a new regularly scheduled monthly liner service between Duluth and Antwerp, Belgium. Duluth Cargo Connect President Jonathan Lamb says this service provides ag producers and shippers an excellent option for exporting grain cargoes.
The new liner service itself will not only be able to handle general break bulk commodities. So, for example, the first vessel coming into us this year is actually bringing not only import containers, but it's got actually some agricultural machinery on it that's coming in. And then we can do things like super sacks and whatnot that might not be containerized. But then on the other hand, the carrier that's providing this service, Spleetoff, they also have containers available and are working a container service into this program as well, both for imports and for exports. And that connection would be into North Europe through the gateway of Antwerp.
And the first containerized exports out of the port of Duluth began last fall.
We did some trial shipments in the fall and at the end of last season, some export ag products with the beans going over to Europe. But there was also some aquaculture that went out of South Dakota as well that went over to Norway. So We've seen some of those things move already, and we certainly anticipate there'll be more and more of that here as time goes on and as customers get used to having a regular service. But yes, you're right, that's the nice thing too, is Fleetoff has their own pool of containers, so they can make those available for bookings as well.
Go to rrfn.com, sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. That'll hit your email box every Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota State FFA Sentinel Noah Erickson has spent much of the past year with chapter visits.
For me, the best experience is definitely getting to know new people from different areas of the state and different areas of the country. It's really cool to hear about how different people have gotten to involved with agriculture and just who they are and why they do what they do.
Erickson is from the Morris Area FFA chapter and is studying agriculture education at the University of Minnesota. It's a significant time in ag education.
We have a really strong future and we're at a really strong point right now. There's a big there's vacancies and teacher positions, but there's new chapters chartering every year. I think we have, 11 chapters chartering this year, so there's a lot of growth, and it's really cool to see, especially gain into the metro area where we want, those are, I think, the people that need to get to know the agricultural story the most. So
planting pace is expected to be rather slow in this afternoon's USDA crop progress report. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strumman says planting progress will become more of a factor in the coming weeks.
They made some progress, last week, and we're still early, so I think there's an opportunity to get back in. And you talk about that moisture again in the southern plains, adding some weakness to the wheat complex, where they're extremely dry and they're expected to get some rain next week. And
global production is also a factor for the wheat market.
And there's some rain in Australia, or there has been, over the last 3-4 weeks, and has their wheat crop off to one of the best starts in years. So we'll look at those crop condition ratings again on Monday for wheat. Certainly that winter wheat crop at 27% good to excellent is a record low, but we'll see if that moisture does anything to improve that.
USDA awarding $2.29 million through the National Animal Health Laboratory Network Farm Bill Program to advance APHIS's animal health preparedness. The 2018 Farm Bill produced funding for this program to prevent animal pests and diseases from entering the United States. Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we're seeing May wheat Minneapolis 6.5 cents higher at 853.5. July is up 6.5. Chicago May wheat is 1¾ cents higher at 663.5. And Kansas City May wheat's up 3 cents at 843¾. May corn is down 2 cents at 661¼. December down 0.75 cents at 547¼. May soybeans are 6 cents higher at 1489¼. November soybeans down 2.5 cents at 1282¾. And in Winnipeg, May canola, 490 a metric ton higher at 769.50 Canadian. On the farm calendar, the Minnesota FFA convention continues. Also coming up this week, the NCBA Legislative Conference. That Minnesota State FFA convention continues through tomorrow. I'll be listening for reports from Don Wick on that. Got some more Farm Bill listening sessions coming up here tomorrow. Ag Country Farm Credit Services in Jamestown. That gets underway at 2:30. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.